Thank you all for being here this morning. As Doug had mentioned, that Dan had picked these songs to go out along with his lesson today, and he really truly thought that he'd be here today to bring this lesson, but unfortunately he's not, and I did speak with him this morning, and he is hoping to maybe try to make it tonight. So I did come up with a lesson today entitled, Why Do You Wait?, which is taken from Acts 22, verse 16. I know a lot of us in this congregation have wondered at times why certain people wait to become a Christian. This might have happened to us in our lives, and perhaps it's you today that are waiting for something in your life to happen in order for you to be baptized into Christ. I know that I have known people for several years now, close relatives of mine and friends, that know about God and may even come to church from time to time, but they put off being baptized. They put off becoming a Christian. And I've often wondered, what are they waiting for? Why do they wait? Well, in the book of Acts, if y'all know the story of Saul, Ananias asked this important question to Saul, why do you wait? If you know the story of Saul, you know Saul was persecuting God, was going out and arresting people who was following this movement here, being Christians. And Saul was on the road to Damascus when the Lord struck him with a bright light and blinded him. The Lord spoke to him and told him what's to come, and a guy named Ananias would come and speak to him and will show him what to do next. And Ananias did that. Paul later writes in Acts 22, he tells the story to the guards that are escorting him to jail, about this story, and Ananias told him to restore his sight, and he received his sight and says, now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and to wash away your sins. Ananias couldn't see any reason for Paul to put off being baptized. He asked this rhetorical question, why do you wait? The implied answer was there was no reason for delay. Saul should immediately arise and be baptized to wash away his sins. The urgency of this action is seen in the purpose to wash away his sins. He had lived a sinful life beforehand, and this was important for him to do that. Saul had already witnessed the true love of God and believed that Jesus is real, but needed to be baptized. The Lord commanded it, so he followed through. When he was baptized, he would call on the Lord's name, that is, to submit to his authority. The question I want to ask you this morning is usually a question that we ask at the end of the service during invitation. But I want to ask you this question at the beginning of this morning's lesson. Have you been baptized? That is, immersed in water, according to Acts chapter 8, in submission to the Lord's authority in order to wash away your sins. If not, the question, why do you wait, is a very, very important question. You know, as Christians, or non-Christians, one of the most important questions that they can ask is, what must I do to be saved? An important question that Christians can ask non-believers or those that are beginning to believe, we should ask them, why do you wait? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not in all in the situation that Saul was. You're not ready to be baptized. And there are some legitimate answers or reasons why you shouldn't be baptized. For these reasons, I'll give you a few of them. You shouldn't be baptized if you haven't been taught the gospel. You shouldn't be baptized if you don't know what sin is and that you're living in it. Or you don't believe in Jesus, period. Those are good, legitimate reasons why you shouldn't be baptized, and that's a reason to wait. But some people have legitimate reasons, or they think they're legitimate reasons, why they put off being baptized. And this morning, I'm going to go over a few of those. So the question is, why do you wait? Well, some wait because they consider the issue unimportant. There are denominations, religious beliefs, and people's own personal beliefs that baptism or becoming a Christian isn't important. Some teach that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved at that point, or say a prayer to invite Jesus into your life and you're saved. Some believe in not immersion in baptism, but sprinkling as baptism is okay. Some even go overboard and think that you should baptize as an early child. 6 months of age or what. And at that point there, they have no decision in it. They don't know what they're being baptized for. They don't know what sin is. They don't know what the gospel is. But some people look at the issue as it's not important. Jesus said in Mark 16, in verses 15 and 16, he says to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In verse 15 here, Jesus is telling disciples, telling Christians, those that already believe, those that already been baptized, he says, go out to the world and preach the gospel to those. You see, Jesus makes a point here. He knows that people are not just going to knock down the doors to come and worship him. That we have to go out and reach and teach these people about Jesus, about the love of Jesus, and how to obey the gospel. And he says here in 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not ones that just believe, but those that believe and are baptized. Now, people have not argued, but kind of this in the next part here, they said, here's what Jesus is saying. If you don't believe, then you won't be saved. Well, if you don't believe, then you wouldn't be baptized at all. So he says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's a very important issue here that Jesus is stressing. In Acts 2:38, Peter says to those at the day of Pentecost, he's preaching there, and they ask him a question, what must we do to be saved? And he answers them in Acts 2:38. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These people here that day, they had heard the gospel. They had heard Peter preach. They believed in Jesus, and they said, now, what must we do to be saved? He said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. For us to go out and preach this is very important. Jesus says it's important. It's important for us to go out and to teach this to people. Another reason people think this issue is unimportant is because we have important other things that we think are important in our lives. In our lives, we will make important decisions. Our jobs are important decisions. Who we're going to marry, who we're going to vote for, maybe some financial decisions. But none is more important than our salvation. And we sometimes put our salvation on the back burner in order to excel in life. We think more things are important. Maybe that's why some people wait. But let me tell you, there are none is more important than our salvation. Secondly, some people wait for the Spirit to move them. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is his son. I want to become a Christian. It's in me, but I'm just waiting for something to move me. You know, I don't have that feeling yet that I'm worthy, or I don't have that feeling to become a Christian yet. They're waiting for something to move them to do that. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. You know, some people have gave testimonies on how God has touched them in their life and put them in situations, and he does do that. But some people wait around for some kind of supernatural emotion to make them become a Christian. Doing that is dangerous. And Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus is waiting. Jesus already paid the price. He's done everything for us. It's a gift that we have, and it's up to us to make that movement. It's our choice to do that. We can't sit around and wait for some spirit to move us to do this. By doing that, it's very dangerous. Listen to 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, the devil does work in mysterious ways, and he does try to keep us away. He tells us, wait for something to move you to go down there. You're not good enough. Wait just a little bit. Well, in the meantime, you're going to different churches. You're going to one that fits your lifestyle, the preacher that tickles your ears, the ones that it's a fun-loving church. And that's why people move around and around. And next thing you know, you're getting taught falsely. You're not getting the truth. And the devil keeps you away. I was telling Dwight just a while ago that he says, well, good luck today. And I said, well, I'm not feeling it. He goes, well, good thing that we're not one of those Philly churches right there. And I said, well, I won't have anybody waving any hands or anything here today. But some people live on that. You know, they live for some kind of spirit to move them. Thirdly, some people wait for a better time. And I think this is what keeps a lot of people away from obeying the gospel. They're waiting for a better time. You know, we have busy lives. We have things that we think that are important in our life. Maybe the timing just didn't right in our life, and that's why we feel that, you know, once we get older and more wiser and more time to devote our time to the Lord, that we'll become a Christian. You know, these are just excuses, and every one of us is busy. And I thank God that, I didn't get baptized till in my 20s, and I thank God every day that I made it that long to make that decision. You know, we don't know how much time we have, but a lot of people do. They wait for a better time in their life to become a Christian, and we shouldn't. In Acts chapter 4, when Paul was in prison, Felix, the Roman governor, was there, and Paul had preached to Felix, tried to get him to believe. Felix said, you know what, I'll come back at some convenient time. You know, now's not the time for me. See, Felix had power, he had money, he had lots of things going on. He wasn't ready to give that up just yet. And a lot of us are that way. We have things in our lives, a lifestyle or whatever it may be, that we're not ready to give up just yet. Because in order to become a Christian, to be faithful, you know that you're going to have to give up some things in your life to do that. There's an illustration in Matthew 20. Jesus gives an illustration of the workers in the vineyard. The master in the 11th hour, and it talks, there's lots of different ways you can teach on this, but he said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner in a vineyard. The master went out early that morning to find workers to go work in the vineyard. He saw some standing there, said, y'all come work in my vineyard. The third and sixth hour, he come out, some were still standing there, said, what are you waiting for? Come work in the vineyard. So they did. He did at the ninth and also at the 11th hour, and there's still some standing there, says, why have you been standing here all day long? Go work in the vineyard. You know, in our lives, sometimes, you know, we wait to a better time for us. And the good thing about this is that God is willing to save you at any time in your life. You know, whether you're saved at an early age or an old age. But we think of life sometimes, and I know this firsthand by working in the funeral business, that we're not promised a tomorrow. You know, you may think of death. You may think of God calling you home after you have went to college, got a career, had a family, even had grandchildren, got older, maybe you got put in a nursing home and lived there a couple years and lived to be 80 or 90 years old and the Lord calls you home. That's what some people picture death as, but death doesn't come that way. Death comes in all different ages, men, women, different races. It doesn't matter. When it is your time, it's your time. You know, one of the things about God is he doesn't put a time limit on us, and he could call us at any time to come home. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. The rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 19 and 20. You know, he had stored up a lot of his possessions in a barn and says, you know what, I'll eat, drink, be merry, and take life easy. And what did Jesus say to him? You fool, tonight your life will be demanded from you. We don't know how much time we have. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let a better time cost you that. Fourthly, some wait because they're waiting on others. Some wait because they're waiting on others. Think about that. Some people, and we influence everyone. You know, somebody here this morning or somebody out in the world may be waiting on someone in their family or one of their friends to do this. You know, we influence everybody, whether you know it or not. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men so men can see your good deeds. You know, I've often thought about this. You know, I grew up and my parents didn't go to church that much. Sometimes they did. My grandmother took me to church from time to time. And, you know, I see a lot of children here today that come to Bible school and church, and it's good to see parents and grandparents bringing your kids to church. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, and I realize that some of them they may not want to be here, but at least you bring them here. And there are some that really enjoy it and learning, and that's what we should be doing. But we should also not only be a good influence by bringing them to church, but we should be doing it at home and everywhere else we go. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, it talks about children or parents bringing up their children. You know, there may be some children that are waiting on their parents to obey the gospel, to be baptized. I mean, you're to set an example for them. Why should they get baptized if you're not? Why should they be a Christian if you're not going to be a Christian? It's a good example to be, but again, it's our own choice. You know, and if you're waiting on someone in your family or friend to become a Christian, and you're waiting on them, don't let them hold you back. It's your choice to do that. You shouldn't be waiting on someone else, but in the meantime, as Christians, we should be good influence and we should be helping people. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that responded that day, and it found in Acts there. But think about this. Who responds first? Somebody had to respond first, and that day 3,000 were added in number. Someone stepped up and was baptized. And that's sometimes what we have to do, is we have to step up in order for others to follow along with us. And that's what Jesus has commanded us to do as disciples, to go out and preach and teach the gospel and baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. Or what about the jailer when Paul and Silas was in jail? And the jailer was baptized and went home and got his family and baptized them too. He was being a good example. Who knows how long his family, or if his family would have ever been baptized if he hadn't have done that, if he hadn't have been an influence to them. You know, it's important for us to learn and read these stories here to see how it goes on. If you're waiting on someone else, it could be too late, because we don't know what their where their life is headed. Fifthly, some feel that they are beyond redemption. They feel they've done too many bad things in their life that they don't deserve to become a Christian, or they can't be forgiven. Well, that's true. That is true. We're not perfect. You know, we don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve eternal life. No matter if you've done bad things or little things or whatnot, I don't deserve it. None of us deserves it. So don't let that thought keep you from being saved, because we all fall short of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That's what you used to be. God forgives you no matter what you do. You may not be good enough, but that's the good about our God. Matthew chapter 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will, let him take the fountain of the water of life." Why do you wait? That's a good question. It's an important question. You know, waiting has consequences in our lives, and I want to give you a few consequences. If you're here today and you're waiting for some reason to become a child of God, here's what these consequences could be. You may never see tomorrow. Life is not only short, but it's uncertain. Death may end your opportunity for salvation. Waiting is foolish. It's a foolish chance to take when eternal separation from God is the penalty for that sin. Secondly, your heart may become hardened. Even if you do see tomorrow and many other tomorrows, your heart will gradually become insensitive to your need for salvation as you put off the washing away of your sins day after day. At first, Felix trembled when he saw his soul's doomed condition at judgment, but later he called for Paul, not to be baptized, but to receive a bribe. If you wait, your heart does get hardened, and you may not ever come forward. You may never accept Jesus. You may never be baptized. That's the way the devil works. Third consequence is you are postponing a reception of the greatest blessing you'll ever have. You should be as anxious and forgiveness as the eunuch from Ethiopia who was baptized just as he saw enough water to be baptized in. He was ready to be baptized. And we should be that way, and we are rejecting that opportunity to do that. You will have fewer days to serve Jesus and to influence and to convert those around you. Why continue a day longer in this purposeless existence? Why do you wait? If you're here this morning and you're one of those that have been waiting, I hope that you don't walk out these doors today regretting not obeying the gospel. You see, all of us believe in Jesus, or we wouldn't be here today. That doesn't make you saved. That doesn't make everything good in your life. By obeying the gospel and being baptized for the remission of your sins, we'll do that. And as we offer every Sunday, we offer that invitation to anyone who would want to come and to be part of God's family. And we ask that you do that. There are some other things, too, in closing this morning that we wait for. Maybe you have been baptized. Maybe you are a Christian. But you've been putting off living faithfully and letting your light shine before men. If you would like prayers from the congregation, the church family here today, it would be a great opportunity for you to come forward while we stand and we sing. Why do you wait?